You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
All men, women, and children on this planet share basic human needs without exception. Every single one of us has a need for food and water, shelter from the weather, sufficient clothing, and things of that nature beyond which you simply cannot survive. And as a matter of fact, many people throughout the world, millions of them, in fact, are quite happy simply to have those basic human needs satisfied on a given day. But that doesn't stop us who live in the more advanced places of the world. We have a next level of needs that we have either invented or inherited. Call it the secondary level. We tell our children constantly, you have a need to complete your education. And then when you finish your education, we tell our people, you need to get a job and to be employed. Otherwise, some terrible things are going to happen. You need transportation to get to and from various places. You need communication devices. And on it goes. We have this whole next level of needs that we have created and inherited that if they are deprived, we don't feel just right and we feel impoverished. And then there is a third level of needs where it gets a little shaky. And that's all the stuff when you go through the mall that the stores tell you you need, but you really just want. Most of the stuff that the corporate world puts out there for us to consume, they want us to believe very desperately that we really need this stuff. But most of the time, we could do quite well without a good bit of it. So the idea of needs goes from everything from the most essential down to the frivolous, and sometimes we have difficulty telling them apart. I want to suggest, before we get into the scriptures and the lesson for this weekend, that there are spiritual and psychological needs that sometimes, because they are invisible, we simply forget about. And at the deepest level, I want to suggest to you that every person on this planet needs to be recognized, needs to be considered important, needs to be esteemed by his or her fellow human beings. As the Reverend Jesse Jackson used to say when he was preaching in civil rights years ago, I am somebody. And we all want to be a somebody. We don't want to be just a nameless face in the crowd or get swallowed up in the aggregate. We want to be considered an individual with our own dignity and worth, and that somebody is paying attention to us. Now, quite obviously, when you stop and think about the billions of people on this earth, simply satisfying that need is a monumental job. So let's go back into the scripture for today. I think it's not disrespectful to say that God has a need. God needs to be recognized and loved. Otherwise, why would God, despite our sinfulness and our craziness, continually keep reaching out to us? God wants us to love him. And sometimes we fail to recognize that. Back in the very early days of the Old Testament, when Moses said to God at the burning bush, "Who should I say is telling me all this?" God said, "Just tell them that my name is I Am. You don't need to know anything else like that." And I call that to your attention because in today's gospel, Jesus uses that same little phrase again when he asks his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" I think Jesus was, besides teaching them, he was also expressing a need that he himself had to be recognized as not John the Baptist come back to life or any one of those other Old Testament figures, but as God's own Son who was being revealed to them. And so he said to his apostles, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter, to his everlasting credit, and you know Peter had some bad moments off and on, came back and said, "You are the Christ, the anointed one of God." In other words, he named Jesus in his individuality, and I think Jesus was fulfilled at that moment as well. But then Jesus immediately goes on, as he always did, to teach us something about ourselves. Each of us has a great need to be known and recognized at the spiritual level. And Jesus comes up with this strange teaching: if you want to save your life, you have to lose it. If you want to be somebody in the kingdom of God, the best place to start is at the end of the line, serving one another, following his example. How hard it is to learn that lesson. It was hard for Peter and the apostles. It's been hard for every generation of Christians in 2,000 years. And yet, we have got to kind of somehow come to the idea that the way God loves us and knows us is when we imitate his Son and deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow him. So often we have pushed the other button and said, we are going to impress God by our achievements, by all of our creativity and all the neat stuff we invent. And God has simply said, "I love you because you are my son or my daughter. I love you just the way you are before ever you can do anything to prove it to me." And that is so hard to learn. It's probably the spiritual lesson of our lives to absorb that truth that God does not need what we bring to the table. It's all wonderful, but God's mercy is everlasting, and God loves us before it ever even occurs to us to respond. And so I think that's the fundamental lesson of these scriptures today, that God wants to be in relationship with us. God needs us and we need God, and together, just as God models for us in the mysterious life of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, so too, we are individuals, but we exist in relationship to one another. That's, I think, what it means to live in the presence of God. So often we think of God as gazillion miles away, somewhere off on the other side of the Big Bang. God is closer to us than we are to ourselves. God wants to be with us and to affirm us and to say, "I don't care if there are 6 billion of you on this earth, you are somebody. I know you by name and I love you." And once we get that through our thick skulls, then we start to relate better to one another. I often talk to people in ministry and whatnot in different parts of the church, and I tell them to always remember that every single person in the crowd is an individual, is a somebody with a name, with a story to tell. And you've got to be sensitive and alert to that. And we simply can't start coming up with these mass production solutions to either human problems or spiritual problems. We do it one individual at a time, but we do it in community in the church. Which gets me to the end of this little lesson, because this is also, as you heard, Father's Day weekend. I've spent most of my life working in inner cities and then lately in prisons, where fatherhood is a problem. There are absent fathers and ineffective fathers, fathers who are unemployed, who cannot provide basic needs for their families or themselves, and so they don't have that recognition, that love that has got to affirm them on a daily basis. So remember that as you celebrate Father's Day, that as you have fathers who are here with you and close to you, there are so many young people and spouses throughout the world for whom the human relationship has come apart. And most of the time, it was because somebody could not have dignity and responsibility and just simply disappeared. We celebrate fatherhood, but we need to pray that our human relationships can be restored, even those that we find most difficult. It's consoling for us, I think, as Christians, that God has called each and every one of us by name, beginning at our baptism and over again. And it's in the Eucharist here where we celebrate together, where, as St. Paul said in one of these readings this evening, we're not divided up by Jews and Greeks, male and female, and this and that and the other thing. We are all sons and daughters of one God. And God loves each and every one of us individually, calls us by name, and wants us to be holy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.